Hey, what's going on? It's Quinn David Furness. Welcome to my show. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast for Friday, April 5th, 2024. What's happening? What's going on? How are you? My name is Quinn, and this is our program. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast. I am the creator, the host, and for now, the chief producer of this program, although let's start right there, as you're probably noticing for a second week in a row. No intro music, no outro music, largely done out of laziness. But I got to do next. We're recording on Audacity again. I don't know why I said it so strangely. This week, we do have the Samson Q2U series coming in hot today. So hopefully the audio quality works out well. We used the Bob Barker microphone last week, and it was up and down. It was not quite as good as Samson, but you know, for the aesthetic, that's kind of some sacrifices that you have to make. But what I need to do, and what I did not do, is actually go into my MacBook, because that is where the audio files, the MP3s for our intro and outro music, live. And then I got to transfer them over email or something so that I can access them on this computer where I have Audacity. And then, but then I was kind of playing around without knowing I wasn't going to be able to do it for real, just kind of playing around with multiple tracks on Audacity, which I have no experience with. And I was having a hard time figuring it out. So it's an adventure. We'll see, but we are now accepting applications for summer internships, unpaid. Although I would buy lunch, you know, here and there. I'm thinking like tomato sandwich. What if we get fresh tomatoes from my future mother-in-law's garden, a little bit of mayonnaise slathered on there, S-L-A-T-H-E-R, and some white, good old white Wonder Bread. I'll make that for you occasionally. So send your applications in to beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. Again, that's beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. I will say, you know, most of my listeners these days are from Pakistan. Shout out to Pakistan. Thank you for making us the 112th ranked comedy podcast in the Great Islamic Republic of Pakistan. If there are any aspiring unpaid interns out there from Karachi, Hyderabad, Khartoum, or anywhere else, we will have to have a kind of come to Jesus conversation about visa sponsorships and HEB1s or whatever they're called, or J1s or J2s or F1s or, I don't know, F1 visas. Because that's kind of expensive, so not sure if we're going to be able to do that. I guess it depends on your skills and qualifications. If we fall head over heels for someone, then I'd be more willing to do it. So it's not a deal breaker, but if you do require visa sponsorship, just you better be a home run candidate. So email us resumes and cover letters, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com, and thank you to Pakistan. Listener discretion is advised when you listen to this program. Number also must have a working knowledge of Audacity microphones, USB microphones, and preferably MLMs. Take that for what you will. Next step in the Beantown network empire. We're drinking our last of our six-pack of a Temperance Beer Co. Basement Party alongside a little bit of whiskey here, Woodford Reserve. Getting close to finishing off the Christmas present. Of course, it's a delayed start because they don't get to have any in January. I bought some scotch today at the Jewels. Excuse me, I have not bought scotch in a long time. And just looking at the bottle, I can already tell it's going to be one of those you take a little sip and you're like, that goes down tough. But you know what? I don't know if I've ever had a scotch where I drank it and it didn't go down tough. Is that just me being a cheap ass? Absolutely, but I feel like you gotta pay like $75 for a bottle of scotch before it starts going on smooth. That's just kind of my association. For me, you know, whiskey and bourbon go down a little bit smoother, and scotch is rough on the way down. I don't know if that's actually a quality of the beverages, a distinction, if you will, but that's just sort of my association. Email us if you know that, whether that's true or not, because that's sort of my understanding. So we're going double barrel a little bit here today, but taking it slow, just a long day, tough day. I won't belabor this point, but a ton of tech issues today, man, on phone calls at my job. The AirPods crapped out, not in like a permanent way, but just started to really cut out. Couldn't tell if it was me or the people I was talking to, so I had to abandon ship there. Our phones, our work phones integrated to Microsoft Teams this week, and there's been a whole slew of issues there. Candidates not being able to hear me. Just all sorts of stuff. And then, you know, when I was in the office yesterday, and anytime I plug into my, like, office dock, if you will, it messes up the audio settings, and you got to restart and all sorts of stuff. So just a fun amalgamation of issues. But let's blow past that. We mentioned, we'll get this out of the way, our Samson Q2U series. Thank you to Samson. A very well-deserved week off last week for the Samson Q2U series. So back and better than ever. When God speaks, he uses a Samson, of course, last week, and a big one for the Lord. Didn't get a lot of feedback from the beanheads on my 7 plagues, 3 pros concept. It's sort of my version of Herman Cain's 999 plan. But maybe people are just not caught up. Maybe, you know, there's Pakistanis out there who are 320 or so episodes behind, which I understand. Also, our good friends at Home Pride Oregon, when you need your home inspector in Central Oregon, go with someone who's safe, certified, and expert you can trust. That might be my dad, Steve, 541-410-0316. Or email homeprideoregon@gmail.com. I'll say this, if you get homeprideoregon@gmail.com mixed up with Beantown Podcast email, you send Steve a cover letter and a resume. You send me a request for a home inspection. I'll do it, but I'm not insured, so it's a risk. And Steve knows his way around a cover letter, so you'd probably be in good hands with him. But I don't know. He definitely doesn't do visa sponsorship, so good luck there. Especially for Pakistan. You know, he's a big Bush guy. And he probably worried that you're Al-Qaeda's kid or something like that, hiding out in Pakistan. No, that's slander. No slander on the Beantown Podcast. Certainly not for our good friends at Home Pride Oregon. Inspection. Perfection. Although he probably won't sponsor you still, though. It doesn't have anything to do with Al-Qaeda, however. And then, of course, our good friends Cuts by Q did a big old shave by Q. A full face shave. First time in... It's usually like a month, 2 months or so in between my full face shaves. It feels like it's been a while. So I got a clean look. I have a 10-year-old's birthday dinner tomorrow. So I want it to be fresh for that. You know how that goes. Cuts by Q. When you need to fresh do something snappy or new, call the experts at Cuts by Q. All right, let's jump into it here. It's going to be a short-ish episode because there was not a ton of preparation done. Kind of a long week. Just had to kind of grind through it. You know, that post-Easter letdown is real. Before we jump in, announcement, show announcement. Next week, going to be one of our favorite shows of the year. Our dear friend, former co-host of the White Noise podcast, alongside yours truly, tax expert Matthew Fiedler is going to be joining our program for the 7th annual Beantown Podcast Taxes Special. Be on the lookout for that. This year's theme is joint filing, okay? So get ready for that. You know, study up on your joints. You got your ball and sockets. You got your, I don't know, what do you call them? The hinge joints. That could be a good hangout for singles. Hinge joints, get it? It's a joke. Pretty good. But Matthew Feather is going to be talking to us all about taxes. Tax day is 10 days from now. And yeah, so if you haven't done your taxes yet, get your W-2s out. I will release my taxes live on air, although I did them like 2 months ago, and I don't even really know what I would release. They're pretty boring. They've looked the same now for the last like 4 years. No big changes. I think I had fewer capital losses this year than in years past. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. Probably a good thing, right? I wouldn't want to have losses, certainly not of the capital variety. I feel like any time the Blackhawks got to play Alexander Ovechkin. Is that guy still active? Is he still in the league? Feels like he's really old. But yeah, Matthew Feather, dear friend of the show. Congratulations to Matthew. We got to celebrate his wedding down in Mexico. Gosh, already... Three and a half months ago. Crazy stuff. Let's get into it. I'm pretty sure we completely botched this last week, although I didn't listen back. I don't remember. We didn't do it this week on the campaign trail last week. So this week on the campaign trail, though, there were some more primaries. Who cares? the least exciting primary season of my lifetime. We've covered that ad nauseum. But I did want to say that this past week on the campaign trail, Trump rather got really pissed off when he found out that this year Transgender Day of Visibility would be falling on Easter. And of course, he said Joe Biden created Transgender Day of Visibility this year to be on Easter specifically to stick it to the Christians, which of course is patently false, patently false. And so in response, Trump said that November 5th, which I believe November 5th, 2024 is election day this year, certainly is. He said that November 5th would be Christian Day of Visibility. I kind of like how Trump is just like out there creating holidays. It kind of makes you wonder who gets to actually create holidays and who doesn't. You know, is it a congressional thing? Does it need 2/3 of the Senate? Can a president just sign something into whatever you would call it, enact a bill? I like when cities or counties do, some special specific person, you know, it's their day. But I was really sad. I found this out the other day. I don't know how common this is, presumably very common. Let's say, you know, there's a Fred VanVleet or something wins the national the NBA title 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever it was, for the Raptors. So Rockford, and they probably did do something like this, I don't know, but Rockford will announce June 20th, you know, a week after the finals ends, as Fred VanVleet Day. The thing that makes me sad, excuse me, is that I've seen this happen in a couple other places recently, different examples, but it'll just be for that year. It's not like, oh, every year now this is Fred VanVleet Day. In my mind, if something is, you know, Quinn Furness Day here in Chicago, March 16th, no brainer, it should be Quinn Furness Day every year, right? It shouldn't just be once. There's no, a day happens once a year, right? So that kind of bummed me out. Seems like a silly thing to get bummed out about. This guy just walked into our apartment, not our actual apartment, but I'm out looking out the window and peering out, if you will. Feel like Jimmy Stewart in Rear Window without the broken legs. He's walking in shirtless. That's crazy. I don't know if he was like a streaker at the Cubs game or something. Big W for the Cubs today. 9-7 over the Dodgers. Nail biter. Great Gold Glove defense. Cubs have won 5 in a row. They're hot. Beating the Dodgers. Shohei Ohtani, I think it was his first game ever at Wrigley Field. He had a home run, double, single. I think he had a single. He was, yeah. Maybe not. Double and a home run at least. Dead air. So Christian Day of Visibility is going to be November 5th. And now you got to wonder, are there going to be more offshoots, like different sects and denomination? Like when is Episcopalian Day of Visibility going to be? What about Seventh-day Adventist? What do you think the Seventh-day Adventists believe? Something to do with the number 7. Seventh day, God rested, right? Are they lazy? Is it like the lazy denomination? Everyone's always resting. You can't have church. Here is my problem with church on Sunday. Sunday's supposed to be the day of rest. You wake up your little kid and mom and dad are like, hey, we're going to 8 o'clock service. That's not really resting for me, is it? That's like get up at the butt crack of dawn, brush your teeth, put on a polo, and go listen to a 45-minute sermon from John D. Sprecher. I don't know. That doesn't feel very restful to me. I will say, I was always jealous when I was a little kid of the, you know, friends who got to go to the 10:30 a.m. service at Rock Church growing up. There was an 8 a.m. and then Sunday school would be 9:30 to 10:30. No idea what my parents did from 9:30 to 10:30. They must have had their own groups. I don't know. And then there'd be a 10:30 service, which was had much more leeway and liberty to go long, right, and spill into the noon hour, which spills into the football games, which is that's my golden rule. You know, forget love your brother as thyself. My golden rule is don't miss the football games. So I was always jealous because those kids, you know, if they went to Sunday school, you got to be there at 9:30. If not, you know, 10:30. But I was very jealous that they got to sleep in on Sundays because that felt natural, right? It'd be a Sunday. It's a weekend. You get to sleep in. But it didn't work out that way. But in hindsight, I'm okay with the decision to go to the 8 a.m. I mean, my ultimate number one choice would have been just don't go at all. But really the only way to not go would be if you faked sick, which happened a handful of times. But then the problem is you got to watch whatever's on TV on Sunday mornings with no cable. And if you have ever watched network television on a Sunday morning, that is bleak, man. I mean, you don't get any good Today Show action, no, you know, Matt Lauer scandals. You don't get cartoons. You miss that boat by 24 hours. So it's a lesser of two evils, but not great. And then, I was going to say something else. Completely escaped. Escaped my mind. That's okay. Just take some whiskey. That'll help my memory. Take some whiskey. I've been doing too much Duolingo. I tell you what, man. You try to drink in Espanol, Tomar el beverage, right? I don't think that's actually true. It's beber, right? That's to drink. Comer, to eat. Como Zoo, St. Paul. Lake Como, Europe somewhere. We're going to be talking geography in a second here with our trivia question. We are way off track. Christian Day of Visibility. We were talking Seventh-day Adventists. That's how we got talking about laziness. So there you go. That's this week on the campaign trail. The biggest bummer is like, I don't think this has been confirmed one way or another yet, but I don't think we're going to get debates, right? It's already so irritating to me that we were robbed of, you know, primary debates. Even when it was, you know, DeSantis and Nikki Haley were still around, it wasn't like DeSantis, Trump, and Nikki Haley together on a stage. It was, you know, these stupid, like, back-to-back town halls that no one cared about for DeSantis and Nikki. And obviously Biden doesn't have any sort of cool opposition. When's the last time you had an incumbent president who had, like, legit opposition where they had to do debates and stuff? Has that happened, like, post-World War II? You would assume it has, but in my lifetime, I don't think it has. Obviously, like, my earliest recollection of a presidential election is probably 2004. 2000 is very fuzzy to me. I don't really remember it at all. 2004, I certainly do to an extent, though. John Kerry. But, like, George Bush wasn't debating, you know, Fred Thompson or something like that. Or Ron Paul. In 2008, obviously, open wide, you get both going, but just what a disappointing election season this has been. Just so boring. I don't know. Let's progress here. That's this week on the campaign trail. It's our salute to the solar eclipse today. And when I talked about not having done much research when I came into the show, that's really what I was talking about. So the solar eclipse is going to be Monday, April 8th. And in the U.S., it's like mid-afternoon. I think, you know, Chicago, we're at like 90% coverage, something like that. And it starts at like 12:30. It ends by like 3:30, something like that. The current forecast here in Chicago, let's look. You know, it's been back and forth. It looks like it's scheduled to be sunny and 68. Earlier, people were saying, oh, no, it's going to be super cloudy. Well, now, at least per Apple weather forecast, whatever it's called, sunny in 68. Speaking of Apple, just super quick sidebar. I actually went to the Cubs game on Wednesday night in the snow, which was wild. But crazy, wild thing happened that is a new experience for me. So anytime you go to, I think this is most MLB ballparks are this way, you have to have your ticket on your smartphone through the MLB Ballpark app, which it's been that way for years, no problem. Any, you know, where you buy it from, it was TickPick this time for me, but StubHub, GameTime, SeatGeek, whatever it is. You just get those tickets delivered to your MLB account, and then you download or have the MLB Ballpark app on your phone. Well, I'm one of those people, I only keep the apps on my phone that are really essential that I use all the time. So Duolingo, Instagram, podcasts, Cribbage Pro. And then for apps that I only have when I need them, for example, MLB Ballpark, I delete that right when I get into the ballpark. I don't need it anymore as long as I have my you know, or after the game. I don't need it. So I buy this ticket. I was waiting around Wednesday trying to get a sense of what the weather was going to do. And it's funny I should say that because the weather only got worse and worse, and I still was like, oh yeah, I'll buy a $6 ticket and go to the game. So you might all out there in Beanland might have experienced this. Beanland sounds like a Candyland sequel. The Apple App Store was down. And so I have my tickets. I buy them online, you know, on my laptop, and get them transferred to my MLB account. I get the notification over email that they've been transferred successfully. And I only bought half an hour before a game started, so it's like 6 p.m. And I go to my phone and try to download the app because that's how you get your ticket. And no dice. And the App Store was down like the whole time. I don't know when it came back because I never checked it again, but I couldn't download the app. So I call fan services. Thankfully, it got through pretty quickly. The exact opposite of my ComEd experience. I tried to transfer my electricity service because they're moving next month. And was on hold for 35 minutes, didn't talk to anyone real, and then had another call I had to jump to. So just never talked to anyone. So 0 for 1 on that front. But it's not. There's no crazy ending to the story. I went to the box office. The guy was very leery, right? L-E-E-R-Y, I think. Not O'Leary. There's a Cubs guy, right fielder, Troy O'Leary, I think. Role player, serviceable. I go to the box office and the guy's like, well, I don't know if I'll be able to help you. And I was like, well, like, I called fan services. They said that they're aware of the issue and this is what I had to do. And he's like, I don't know, man. Like, I'll try, but if I can't find it, I can't help you. And I was like, yeah, I mean, okay. So he had my phone in there. So I had to put it in the little slot where he gives you tickets. And it was there. It was like a solid 5 minutes. Thankfully, on the TV inside, he had Wheel of Fortune playing. I heard today was Pat Sajak's last ever taping for Wheel of Fortune, so that airs probably sometime in the summer. But Pat's a great white wing game show host, pretty legendary. So shout out to Pat. I saw him one time at a bar in Chicago. Real short guy. But eventually it got sorted out. The guy was just very wary of my story. And I'm like, you think I'm like walking to Wrigley Field in the snow trying to scam you out of a $6 ticket? Like, so it worked out. But he had to physically text me my ticket. So I have no idea how we got on this topic, but the solar eclipse is Monday. Here's a couple of tips. If you're not in, you know, full penetration, I think they call it, you got to get glasses. Now, any sort of glasses will probably do. Glasses you would normally use to look at the sun should be fine for this. So if you got the movie theater 3D glasses from when you saw Monsters versus Aliens, Cowboys versus Aliens, or Alien Covenant, those glasses would be fine. I saw Alien Covenant in theaters in Evanston one time. Not a half bad movie. Good performance from Michael Fassbender. Or you could, I don't know, I got, what are they, Birkenstocks? No, Ray-Bans. Rachel got me Ray-Bans for a birthday a couple years back. I probably wouldn't stare directly into the sun, though, with those, so probably don't stare directly into the eclipse unless you're right in the path of totality, is what they call it. Be a good, sounds like a World War II historical film starring Sam Worthington and other white males, one token black guy, Daniel Kaluuya. I was watching clips from Sicario earlier this week. I forgot Daniel Kaluuya was in that film. Denis Villeneuve, who said he's doing a Dune 3. Here's the thing. I thought, and I don't know anything about Dune. We did a whole episode about it a couple weeks back. Still don't know anything because I didn't actually read the plot synopsis nor the book, nor have I seen either film. But I just assumed, because I always just thought, hey, there's a Dune book, right? You do Dune 1. You split the book into the first half. You do a Dune 2. You split the book into the second half. And there's your two movies. Apparently, there's going to be a Dune 3. And is it just Dune 2 didn't finish the book and there was always more meat left on that bone? Or are we actually going to create a whole new Dune? Excuse me. How cool would it be if they made like a documentary about those sand dunes in Nebraska along the Platte River? Maybe tell Timothée Chalamet does the voiceover, or Javier Bardem. We did confirm that he was in the film, so I felt pretty good about that casting choice. that I pulled out of my ass a couple weeks ago when we wrote the plots for Dune 2. And but now we're gonna have to do a whole other episode. We're gonna have to do a whole show about Dune 3. Too many Dunes. Well, that would be Dune 2. There's not a lot of good 3 puns, right? What did Fast and the Furious 3 do? Is that Tokyo Drift? I don't know. I've never seen a Fast and the Furious film. So, solar eclipse. You know, I promised you a shorter episode. And so I'm gonna give it to you with our trivia question. Then we're going to wrap things up. I just want to say, you know, first solar eclipse since 2017. We did, I distinctly recall, I think it was June or July of 2017, last solar eclipse. I was in Baltimore. And it was a hot, muggy day up in the Charles Village Homewood campus of Johns Hopkins University. We stepped outside Mason Hall onto the quad. There's 4 quads on that campus. It's a beautiful campus. I don't remember what that quad is called in particular, but right outside the office, look up, and it was fine. It wasn't that exciting. I think this one's going to be better. I think Chicago's in a good path of totality. Not the path of totality, but like a secondary path of totality or tertiary. That could be the name of Dune 3, Tertiary Dune. So yeah, hopefully the clouds hold up. And I've been seeing a lot of posts on Reddit about, you know, people are like, oh, like I'm driving down to Carbondale, I'm driving down to Indianapolis. And everyone is, I guess this is based off of what happened in 2017. Everyone was like, if you're trying to drive from Indianapolis, Carbondale, wherever, to Chicago Monday night after the eclipse, the interstates are going to be completely jammed up. Like you won't be able to get home for 10 hours. Like the amount of, and I'm not saying it's unwarranted, maybe it's true. It's crazy to me, though, that so many people want the extra 6% of totality in the eclipse. I don't, for lack of a better phrase, I don't give a fuck. Like if I can see it, it's mostly totalicious. Totodile, Pokemon. Totodile, Croconaw, Feraligatr. Good stuff, man. My favorite starter ever, Totodile. First Pokemon ever raised to level 100. I don't care if it's like full totality. Like, do I need to drive 5 hours south to get full totality? Or could I just like look at it and take a day off work, mind you? Or could I just like look at it, get the almost exact same experience, use my, you know, glasses from Alien Covenant? Although I think my father-in-law, future father-in-law, pet peeve. When you're engaged, we need to normalize just referencing your future in-laws as just in-laws, because, and this happens from time to time where I'm like talking about Betty and Jose, great supporters of the show. And it's like, you don't want to call them your in-laws because then people are like, oh, I didn't know you were married. And you know, then you're the whole thing, we're like, no, I'm not actually married. It's just, it's way easier to say, much less than a mouthful, than saying, oh, my fiance's parents, right? Too many syllables for me. I prefer in-laws, 2 syllables. It's quick, it's snappy. We need to be able to just say this. So from here on out, for the next year until our wedding, I'm just going to normalize saying in-laws, even though they're not technically my in-laws. It is what it is. Point I was trying to make, Jose is gracious enough to get his glasses. So you could probably, I would say, don't look through like a whiskey glass or a wine glass. Do the actual glasses, even though they're plastic. So we really shouldn't call them glasses. Tough episode across the board. But I made it, you know, 330 episodes, wherever we're at. No days off. No weeks off. You get 6 days off, but no weeks off here at the Beantown Podcast. Okay, last thing here. It's our trivia question of the week, and it relates directly to the solar eclipse. And apologies to all the eclipse heads who are expecting a deep dive. You know, they probably know the show very well. They know how. Basically, like if Last Week Tonight with John Oliver was a podcast, it's kind of what we do here. Oh, I wanted to mention one key difference and then our trivia question. There is a difference between a solar eclipse and a lunar eclipse. I looked this up earlier on my phone as I was walking home from Jules. A solar eclipse is when the moon passes directly in front of the sun. and it blocks out the sun. So that big black dark circle you see is actually the moon blocking out the sun, and you just see the little corona, I think is what they call it, the edge of the sun around the moon. So that's what's going to be happening on Monday. A lunar eclipse, not quite as badass, but it's when the Earth is directly in between the sun and the moon. So kind of a flipperoo. And I don't really know what you see there. You look at the sun, it's probably the same. You look at the moon, it's Earth's shadow. So it's just like a dark moon. But if it's a dark moon against a night sky, then what does that even look like? Today's Google image search of the day brought to you by Home Pride Oregon. A Google image search of a lunar eclipse. There's not even any good pictures. It's just like, here's the science behind it. A lunar eclipse, it doesn't even look, it's just like a red moon. Why is the moon red in a lunar eclipse if the Earth is blocking the sun from it? Why does that make the moon more red? I Googled lunar image. That's embarrassing. That's why the images sucked. Lunar eclipse, why red? During a lunar eclipse, the moon turns red because the only sunlight reaching the moon passes through the Earth's atmosphere. That's pretty badass. The more dust or clouds in Earth's atmosphere during the eclipse, the redder the moon will appear, as if it's all the world's sunrises and sunsets are projected onto the moon. Okay, that's pretty badass. Apologies to lunar eclipses, and apologies for my bad Google searching. Okay, so this week's Beantown Podcast Trivia Question of the Week, brought to you by our good friends at Cuts by Q and Samson Q2U series, just to double up on all of these. Okay, pretty simple, pretty straightforward. And I looked up a map to figure out exactly what this meant, and I'll explain it to you. So the solar eclipse center line, that's the key word, really just the path of the solar eclipse, totality, path of totality, passes through these 15 U.S. states. Okay, so the diagram I was looking at for this had like three lines. There's a center line and then two lines right outside of it. At first I thought it was just the center line, because that's what the question says, center line, but there was actually two lines, you know, equidistant from the center line that represented like the path of 100% coverage, I guess. That's what they're talking about. So the 100% coverage, not the exact middle of the 100% coverage. So it is a little bit of a band, B-A-N-D, if you will. So again, I'm asking you, and you're going to have to know a little bit about the path of the eclipse and who has 100% coverage and who doesn't in order to make a solid guess at this. But it's a pretty simple question. There's 15 states, and this was from, I don't know, NBCnews.com or something like that, BeantownPodcast.com/news, I don't know, for your source. So 15 states. Take a second, pause if you need to, because we're going to jump in here after a sip of whiskey. So if you don't know, essentially, it's going from southwest to northeast, is what I'm trying to say, in a relatively straight line. I don't know how the Coriolis effect impacts this stuff, but it's if you need more time to guess, pause now. Here we go. 15 states. It starts in Texas. And if you want to pull up a map to help yourself through this, go ahead. But it's going to be pretty straightforward. I'm just going to tell it to you straight in order. Texas, then Oklahoma, then Arkansas, then it just kisses Tennessee and Kentucky, Missouri, Illinois. I feel like it's easier now. I feel like the front half was a tough half. Indiana and Ohio. Just kisses Michigan, Pennsylvania. Michigan might be before Ohio. I don't remember how that works, but irregardless. Michigan, then Pennsylvania, New York, Vermont, New Hampshire, and it closes out in Maine. So there you go. My question is, okay, so it makes the path through those 15 states and goes off into Greenland and, you know, Iceland and whatever. Does it come back around? I know, you know, we're not getting another solar eclipse until like 2074 or something like that. But like, what about the next revolution? How close is it to being a solar eclipse? These are the questions astronomers have sought answers to for decades. These are secrets of the universe. Great program on UHF by Milo. Weird Al Yankovic's 1989 flop turned cult classic. There you go. That's your Beantown Podcast trivia question of the week. That's our show today. Shorter episode, especially without the music. But that's what I got for you. We're going to have Matthew Feather coming on the program next week to talk taxes. If you have any questions about joints or joint filings or dental fillings, email us beantownpodcast@yahoo.com. We will read your question live on air. Oh, very last thing, because I was talking to one of my brothers about this last week, and I haven't done the call to action yet, and it's in about a month that we need it. So official call to action, Beantown Podcast, horse name special. We do it every year, Kentucky Derby weekend, our top 10 horse names, and I prefer to have one of the 10 be the listener choice, if you will. So submit your choice. We've had, here's my promise. If you send in a horse name, I will read it live on air. Whether it makes the top 10 list or not, you get that screen time, okay? So email us, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com with your horse name suggestion. Text me, call me, whatever it is. Don't call me. I'm not going to pick up. I might. How many more whiskeys do I have? If I'm like 6 whiskeys in and you call me, it might be like, hey, Aunt Joyce, what's going on? I don't think Aunt Joyce, great Aunt Joyce, listens to the program. I don't even know if she's my aunt. She might be one of those funky cousins. You know, you never really know with these things. I need my 23andMe account. Email us, beantownpodcast@yahoo.com with your top 10 horse name pick. And best name gets into the top 10 list. All names are read. That's what I have for you, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for supporting my show. If you're new to the program, go ahead and give us a like and a subscribe wherever you listen. Hopefully the App Store is not down for you. And this is quintessential Beantown. Underprepared, overserved, 100% Quinn. New slogan. We'll workshop it. Although I liked the start. The punchline needs a little bit of zip. But guys, my name is Quinn David Furness. This is my show. Quinn David Furness presents the Beantown Podcast. Stay safe, stay sane. I'll check in on you next time. Bye.